about earthing. What is earthing?
Okay. It's kind of, they say that we've lost touch with sort of being barefoot in the earth and that there's some type of electromagnetic thing that we're missing.
The man who started the grounding, aka earthing movement, is Clint Ober.
With our new friend, Clint Ober. He's the author of this book. It's called Earthing, and the subtitle is The Most Important Discovery Ever.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Take a Deep Breath. I thought I'd record a very special exterior intro to this video. Today's guest is the incredible Clint Ober, who did the Earthing movie and the book Earthing. And so, of course, I am Earthing right now, and I hope all of you, after watching this podcast, will do the same. We talk about EMF, we talk about the benefits of earthing, inflammation, how that gets reduced, possible links with autism, chronic pain, and so much more. Clint is a real gift to this community, and I know you're going to get so much value from this. And I hope after you've watched this, you either A, run outside and take your shoes and socks off, and or B, watch the Earthing movie, which is completely free on YouTube and is incredible. Okay, on with the Breathcast. Cheers. Mr. Clint Ober, thank you so much for coming on the Take a Deep Breath podcast. It's a real honor and privilege to be talking with you. First of all, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing really good, and I'm looking forward to having this visit with you and discuss earthing and whatever comes up, and hopefully it's of some value to your listeners.
Yeah, I know it will be. And again, thank you. I know we just said that before we hit record, but thank you for your time. So, if you're comfortable, I just want to get stuck in because there's so much I want to kind of dissect with you. I guess the first thing is, could you just describe for the viewers and the listeners what's grounding?
Well, grounding is really an electrical term. It's earthing would be the more a correct term, meaning that when you stick something in the earth, you're earthing, you know, like an earthing rod. Ground rod would be an earthing rod. And then you can connect that to an electrical system, like a home electrical system, or and then you have wire running throughout the home. And basically, that's called a ground system or an earthing system. And what it does, when you put that rod in the earth, then it allows the free electrons of the earth to migrate up the wire or down the wire, depending on whether you have a positive charge or a negative charge. And the whole concept is to maintain the electrical stability of the system, meaning you don't want charges, you don't want static, you want everything to be constant so that you can run motors, run light bulbs, turn on TV sets, and also with, you know, communication systems. Like my background is television and cable television and satellite distribution, all of those kinds of things. But everything has to be very stable. And so you have to have clean electrical environments and to maintain the electrical integrity of the system. It is the only way you can get good pictures and so on. Yeah. I don't know. Does that explain it? But it's basically to maintain the electrical stability, meaning electrons. The earth is charged with free electrons. Yeah. They come from the sun and photons, electrons, and then the earth maintains that charge. And then it's a relative constant because the earth is so large, infinitely large compared to a human or, you know, a home. And so this large electrical presence allows, we call it ground because it's what we measure everything against. It's what we reference everything electrical against. So it is what we call zero, no charge. And these are technical terms and technical words.
Yes.
But I hope it comes across okay.
Yeah, no, that thank you. And how does that relate to people then? So why we talk about grounding from a technical point of view, but right. This concept of us, why should we be grounded?
Well, I think it goes back, you know, eons and eons of time. You know, the first amoeba that ever crawled, formed was grounded because it was in contact with the earth and there was no charge. So the whole concept is the human body is the most electrical instrument on the planet. There's nothing more electrical than the human body because every cell in the body functions with electrical impulses. And then, it takes nerves, to move muscles and, and then our brain is all electrical. And most people only get that the heart is electrical, and some get that the brain. But everything in the body is electrical first, chemical second. When they pronounce you dead is when the electrons quit wiggling in your body. There's no electricity left in your body. That means you are gone. All life on planet Earth is based on the movement of electrons. But it goes back, from the beginning of time, we were always, whether it's our progenitors or whoever, but we were always barefoot on the earth. We slept on the earth. We slept in caves. We touched the earth with our hands, foraging and feeding and so on. And we lived in, we lived in caves and so on. We didn't have TV sets, radios, and all of this world that we live in, this last 100, 200 years is a total remarkable experience that we all get to participate in. But for millions of years, humans, we were just like every other critter living on the planet, eating whatever we could forage and survive on, and in small groups but primarily we were always grounded. We were always in contact with the earth. So when the body, human body, is in contact with the earth, then those electrons that we talk about, in the electrical system. So basically when you put your foot on the earth, then the first thing that's going to happen is your body's going to equalize with the earth. I mean, it's going to absorb enough electrons from the earth so it has the same amount per atom as the earth does itself. So the body is electrically stable when you are grounded. Nice. And what that means is, like, everything in the body being electrical, you have to have this clean electrical environment for all of these things to be able to communicate and have a constant electrical potential so that they can have a reference to bounce against. And it's dynamic. If a cloud comes over, that's going to change the electrical potential on the surface of the earth. Right. If it's pure sunlight, it's going to change. If it's dark, it's going to, quiet the electrical activity on the surface. The earth has a dynamic electrical potential, meaning it goes up and down based on atmospheric conditions and so on. So the human body is the same thing. So the body has to have a constant in order for everything to be, fluid, so it can go move and stay in sync, and it syncs up to the earth. Mm. So when we disconnect from the earth, that's the real issue, is now we're breathing oxygen. When we're connected to the earth, you're breathing oxygen and you have electrons, on the surface of the earth. So you have, everything is dynamic and moving. But when you move above the earth, then all of a sudden, your body equalizes to the electrical potential of the atmosphere. So now the body has to try to, you have a floating ground. I mean, the body itself is the ground. So now your electrical potentials are floating and you never have a real constant. And I could go on and on, but it gets too technical and it's not relevant. It is relevant, but it's not something most people want to listen to. So anyhow, grounding is very simple. When you put your earth on the, your body on the earth, then you are, electrically speaking, one and the same as the earth. You are as big as the earth because you're connected. When you disconnect from the earth, then your body is the size of your body because it's no longer electrically connected to anything. It's floating in free space like an astronaut disconnect, floating above the earth. So what are the consequences of that? That's what 20...
That's my next question, yeah.
25 years ago. First of all, I have a background, a 30-year background before I got into this, and I've been doing this for 25 years. But I have a 30-year background of, in the early days when we developed communication systems, cable television systems specifically, we had to run wire up on the poles, house to house. So there was a network of wire running throughout the community. And then whenever you would run a wire into the home from that cable system, you had to ground it to the earth. You had to cut the cable, peel it back, connect it so that if there's any charge on the line, any static electricity, any lightning or anything comes, you know, even wind creates static electricity. So any static noise or anything on the line, you ground it so that that noise goes to the earth. And then the signals go on into the home. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have, again, you have a clean environment. In the early days, we didn't really ground everything. Then all of a sudden, you know, back in the early 60s, we learned that you have to ground everything. Otherwise, the whole system gets out of kilter. And then the dynamics of the, you know, of the change in the atmosphere, you know, from night to, I mean, midnight to day, to noon. I mean, the electrical potential of the earth rises because of the heat from the sun, and it's quieter at night and so on. But again, that goes, it's a big story to get into all that. But the whole concept is I learned about grounding in the early 60s. And we learned as an industry, a developing industry back then, that we had to maintain everything at earth potential. And so, but we took it for granted. Nobody give it any thought. That's what you do. Well, you step outside of that industry, and the word grounding is, well, that's an electrical term for I have a ground wire in my house, or, but people don't know what ground really does. Primarily, it's to prevent fire, to prevent lightning from entering a home. It's a safety thing to, if there's an electrical event in the atmosphere or in the environment, then you ground that charge to the earth quickly at the speed of light so that it does no harm. Where if it doesn't get to earth quickly, then it will burn a hole through something like your shoe if you're not ground or the house and start a fire. Fire is one of the major things. So you need to be able to ground that lightning and to prevent fire, to prevent all the things that I talk about in the communications also. But fire is the big one.
So why is the lightning trying to get to the ground? What is that? Is that because of the positive and the negative charges and it's kind of drawn?
Yes. Yeah. During the morning, the sun comes up, and as we get to noon, that's when you usually have the warmer temperatures. So before noon, you have evaporation. Right. Sunlight evaporates, you know, the dew off the grass and so on. And all of that goes up into the atmosphere. And depending on the amount, it'll form clouds. So around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, then you start having condensation, where all of this vapor starts to come together. And that's when you get your clouds and rain and so on. It's like at 2 o'clock, wherever you are on the planet, when it's 2 o'clock, it's 80% chance of rain, you know, and 100% at the equatorial, in the equatorial regions. Oh, wow. We live inside of all of this. We don't pay attention to it. We don't even know what's going on most of the time. But anyhow, so it's just a normal rise and fall of temperature, evaporation, condensation. It's what creates rain. It's what feeds the planet. The ecosystem is, yeah, it's all related. It's all one big thing. Okay. You know, life on the planet Earth is really, it's all connected. It's really all one thing. And it's influenced, you know, differently by whether it's the North Pole or it's at the equator, or if you're in the Grand Canyon versus, you know, the Amazon. So there's all these little ecosystems, but they're all kind of connected and they all interact with each other. And so it's, yeah, it's our home. That's our environment.
Yeah. And a bit like, because this channel focuses a lot on breath work and breathing, which I'm looking forward to talking to you about respiration a little bit.
Cool.
But we tend to find that, you know, with a lot of things, it's about trying to get the body into balance, isn't it? Into homeostasis. And it sounds like, and in my very, very limited amount of knowledge of what you're talking about, our body needs to find some balance by touching the earth. Is that too simplistic?
No, it's not too simplistic. It's the way it was for millions and millions and millions of years. And then to bring it home, it was in 1960, you know, 62 years ago, that we invented plastics. The first thing we did is we put them on the soles of our shoes, and then we created all that ugly green shag carpeting that they carpeted America with anyway. I don't know what they did in Europe, but anyhow, in the 60s, we started plasticizing our environment, meaning back then you couldn't get off the earth, you couldn't get out of the dirt, you couldn't get out of the mud. But today you can't get back to the earth. You can't go back and touch the earth anymore, because you got to find a park. You got to find someplace, because your home is all full of insulative materials. Carpets are insulative. So electrons don't go, you can't get grounded when you can't touch the earth. You have to be connected to the earth in order to for this grounding to take place. And so when you lose your ground, then, you know, that's when you start, there's a host of things that go on, but basically, you know, anxiety, irritability, you know, all those things that it changes everything, how you feel and how you breathe, and everything changes. You are a different person when you are barefoot on the earth than you are when you put your shoes on and walk down the street. You are a completely different person. Now you may feel and you may think you're the same, but the way your body functions is totally different.
Yeah. Incredible. And when I first heard this, I don't know, 2 years ago, I instinctively knew that made sense, because I'd heard people before, some of my friends saying, you should be grounded. You should, you know, you should do your yoga grounded. And I was like, yeah. That sounds a bit, you know, hippie-ish. And then when I saw the documentary, I was like, shit, that was right. There's all this science that sits behind it.
Yeah, it's like your range of motion. When you're not grounded, then your body is tight and, you know, tighter. And there's stress, you're stressed. But when you're grounded, then again, you know, the body's electrical, the earth is electrical. So there's an equilibrium that is created within the body when you touch the earth. So then you have a greater range of motion. You can reach farther. You can jump higher. You can get up from a chair with ease, because there's more electrons, more electrical energy. And we learned from one of the major studies we did, the blood viscosity study, that as soon as you ground the body, then all the red blood cells, they equalize with the earth. The little red blood cells, they go to they equalize in the same electrical potential as the earth. Then, because they have more free electrons, they repel each other. The red blood cells repel each other. And that's what keeps the blood thin, so it can get in and out of the capillaries, oxygenate the tissue. You know, it's real simple. You know, the animals in the wild, there's no such thing as cancer. There's no cardiovascular disease. I mean, there may be a rare occasion, but by and large, cancer doesn't exist. They don't have cardiovascular disease, MS, lupus, autism. They don't have any inflammation-related health disorder. Cancer is an inflammation-related health disorder. Your immune system is compromised. So anyhow, but the animals who live indoors with the owners, who sleep on the couch, they have a 50% death rate of cancer, just like their owners. So this is environment. All these modern health disorders are environmental health disorders. We changed our environment. And now that we eat crap for food and we, you know, and everything that goes with it. But the point is, like the animals, I like to talk about them because there's no placebo effect or anything there. It's very simple. The animals who live in the wilds, they experience health. If you go out and look at the wild animals, you see health. Health is the body's most natural state, the human body's most natural state. But we spend all these years doing all of these things that screw it up. And it's like health is your most natural state. If you you have to work hard, long and hard, you have to eat a lot of crap. You have to abuse your body for years before it'll finally give up and say, okay, I can't take it, and start breaking down, and disease starts to manifest. But by and large, the body will fight.
I know some people that are getting on in their years a bit, and you're right, that some of them have treated their bodies quite poorly, and it's only just now in their kind of late 60s, 70s you're starting to see some stuff, because the body's trying its best. And I think it's a miraculous thing. And I was just thinking about, not only have we cut ourselves off from the ground, we've then given ourselves, you know, phones and bad food. And so it's like this terrible experiment, isn't it, of let's see how many bad things we can do at once and what that does to us.
Do you love breath work? Well, if you're as fanatical as I am about breathing, you already know that how we breathe affects how we think and feel. How cool is that? And so we can use certain breathing techniques to improve focus, lengthen concentration, lower blood pressure, reduce stress and anxiety, be more in a peak state, help us get a better night's sleep, and so many more things. The breath is truly incredible. And it's the reason I've dedicated my life to this beautiful modality and helping people learn to breathe better. Now, I typically work one-on-one with clients over a six-week period. And there's three pillars to my coaching. Accountability, you're with me on WhatsApp. I give you exercises based on all my knowledge, 6-7 years now, 100 podcasts with world's top experts. I really want to help you by saving you the time of having to go and read 50 books, interview 100 people. I'll get that information to you quickly. And that information is condensed and it's in a learnable state. Now, the bad news is I'm already booked now until November this year. So I've got a couple of spaces left in November, December. But the good news is I'm going to open up 2 slots for August/September. So the link is down below. If you feel like now is the time to have a go at working with me as a coach, I only take on a couple of clients. I always get beautiful transformations. I help people move towards their goals. So if this is resonating with you right now and you're thinking, oh, I'd like to reach out to Mike, the link is down there. The slots go really quick. So I can't wait to meet some of you on a discovery call. And let's see if my 6-week breath coaching package is a good fit. And I look forward to seeing some of you soon. Back on with the Breathcast. Cheers.
Yeah. It's, you know, what can we do to disturb the body in homeostasis?
Yeah.
It's remarkable. And, but on the other hand, it's all fixable. It just takes discipline.
Yeah.
The problem we all have is kind of like, you know, we grow, you know, we're born and we grow up and we become our parents by and large, because that's who they teach us what we know. And we take what they know and we build it into our lives. And then we, you know, so we're trained, you know, based on these lifestyles that our parents lived. And then today we add to it with all of the electronics and the, you know, just we've totally changed. We don't go outdoors anymore. We don't get any sunlight. We don't get any vitamin. Everybody's suffering from lack of vitamin D because we have roofs over our heads now. We never used to have roofs.
Yeah, there's a couple of books. There's one about sleeping, and they said we've become the worst sleepers in the animal kingdom. And then there's a book on breathing called Breath, and that says we've become the worst breathers in the animal kingdom. And
right.
I always thought breath was the foundation, but the more I hear you talk, I've been listening to your podcast this week with different people, and watched the documentary again recently, and got the book here, and I'm thinking how much of it starts with the ground. Because an example is we've become mouth breathers, And mouth breathing, for those that don't know, is really bad for us. It stresses us out. It dries the airways, problems with oxygen, CO2. And part of that's because our noses become stuffy. And I'm wondering, and we'll talk about inflammation in a second, I'm sure, but part of that is nasal inflammation. And I'm wondering how much of that has got to do with the ground. I don't know, did you come across anything to do with kind of stuffy noses? Or does that feed part of the bigger piece around inflammation, which we'll probably get to now, I'd imagine?
Yeah, well, technically, when you are grounded, your body is negative. And when you're not grounded, it's positive. So if you take a negative and a positive, they snap together like this, you know, like a magnet or anything. Okay, so if the air is positive, the dust and particles and everything in the air that you're breathing is positive, then when you breathe, when you breathe and it comes, so you... how do I say this? I've talked about this, but not very often. But anyhow, so when you get grounded, then your body is negative.
Right.
So now you repel the negative. So when you breathe, you have, you know, positive ions and one, you know, and going in one side, negative ions going in the other, trying to balance the ions that are going in, you know, feeding the heart channel. And whether you're grounded or not, it has a huge impact on your sleep. The inflammation is a secondary part of it, but you're going to be breathing more particulates. You're going to take more particulates into your lungs if you're not grounded. And then your lungs, it's like your bedroom at night. Your lungs are what cleans the air in your bedroom or your house or anything else. Your lungs are a vacuum cleaner. Mm. And, that's a huge problem.
Go ahead. Sorry, it's a bit of a delay. I was going to say, if we just dig on that just a second, so if we're disconnected from the earth, we are more positively charged, which means we would draw more negative ions from the air or more positive ions from the air.
What Earth's free electrons do, or ions, what they do is they are mobile.
Right.
They're in a resting state on lying on the earth. But if there is a charge anywhere in the vicinity, they will snap and reduce charge. It's like lightning is a massive electrical discharge. You know, like there's opening up a fissure between the clouds and the earth, and then where the plasma cracks, then the electrons go, most of the time they go from the clouds down because the bottom part of the cloud is positive, the earth is negative. So, but it's trying to equalize. And the only way they can equalize is you have to have a movement of electrons to wherever there's a charge, reduce and dissipate the electrical charge. Uh-huh. So everything's about charge.
Yeah. And if I'm sucking in, if I'm not grounded and I'm sucking in negative ions, would they not make me more negative? Again, I don't mind standards quite low, or does it not work like that?
Well, it's a relative thing, but if the earth, you're standing on the earth, then you're at the earth potential, and the earth is the end. I mean, that's it. You can't get more than, or you know, than there is there. On the other hand, if you don't get those electrons, then your body is becoming more positive as you breathe because you're giving up electrons. It's like technically when you take a negative charge, something is negatively charged, like the body, you're standing barefoot on the earth, and then all the electrons in your body are distributed throughout the system pretty much equally. Right. This is a gross simplification or oversimplification. Yeah. But your body is... the electrons are kind of distributed throughout the body somewhat equally. But as soon as you put shoes on, stand above the earth, then because the earth is negative, then and there's a insulator. So now all the free electrons in the bottom in your body are going to be pushed by the negative charge of the earth to the top of your head.
Right.
Okay. And then your body has become positive and there's more to all of it. But it's like people who have diabetes, most of them, they have leg problems. I mean, you know, their legs are all swollen up and they, you know, they have to cut the limbs off and all that kind of stuff. And that's because because of this phenomenon. When you wear shoes, you're positive at the bottom and negative at the top. So, and then when you get grounded, then it equalizes again.
Right. Oh, bloody hell. So can you talk? Oh, sorry, please go ahead.
And most people don't know. I've never heard of these things we're talking about.
No, no. Again, this, you know, obviously I'm a couple of years into watching your stuff now, but that's why I was so excited to have this conversation and share more. So can you talk a bit about the sleep and the inflammation a bit more then, and what's going on with the inflammation and how that's linked to a lot of the problems we're experiencing?
Okay, well, first of all, you have to know what inflammation is. Inflammation is a modern word. It came into the English language in 2004, 18 years ago. Okay, before then, nobody talked about inflammation. You have what you called oxidative stress, and that was more with the concept. Other than that, to humans, it was pain, you know. But anyhow, in 2004, that's when Ritger and the boys back at Boston Mass came out with their findings. And what they said basically is you don't have cancer, you don't have diabetes, you don't have all these things. What you have is chronic inflammation. And nobody knew what understood what they're saying, but you have, your body is on fire. There's a slow burning fire in the body. And because of that, then depending on your genetics and your lifestyle, health disorder manifests will manifest differently in each person. Some people will have cardiovascular disease because the inflammation, or because they smoke or because of this or whatever. Other people will have diabetes because of maybe their diet or all of these things. But all of these things start, first of all, with chronic long-term inflammation. So the word inflame means on fire. And that means your body is on fire. And there's a whole story that goes to explain how we figured it out. But anyhow, so when the immune system, you have a pathogen in your body, you breathe something or you have a pathogen or a damaged cell, the immune system will send a neutrophil, a white blood cell, over, and it'll swim over and it'll encapsulate that cell, or and then it will release what we call reactive oxygen species. These are electrically charged molecules that can actually rip an electron from a cell, because that's not easy to do and it takes a lot of voltage. So the immune system, I've learned early on in 204 era, that's when I learned that the immune system was electrical, because the white blood cells are electrically charged and they're ripping electrons, stripping electrons from the shell of the pathogen or the damaged cell. And that's how the immune system destroys them. And that goes on day in, day out, as long as life has been on planet Earth. The problem came 60 years ago, 62 years ago, we invented plastics. And then the first thing we did is started insulating ourselves from the earth. And when we did that, we lost our ground. Ground was like breathing oxygen. You didn't even know what it was or where it came from. You didn't even need to know that it existed until you don't get it, then you die. Okay, so anyhow, we lost our ground in the early 60s, and then it progressively got worse until today. Everybody is ungrounded, unless you're grounded with a wire or something. When you ground the body, pain went away. And we knew that back around 2000. Pain stopped, and we couldn't figure out why pain would stop, because we didn't understand biology. We were electrical people. And we go to the scientific community and so on, and you look up pain, cause of pain. There's nothing in the literature, nothing in the literature in Europe or the United States or anywhere else. Cause of pain, unknown. Cause of MS, unknown. Cause of lupus, unknown. Cause of cancer, unknown. And it doesn't make sense. But anyway, So what we learned was when we ground a human being, the pain goes away. Pain stops. If you stub your toe and you go put your foot on the in the mud, you won't have pain. If you take an electrode patch, you have severe arthritis or, you know, whatever, and you put an electrode patch in the palm of the hand and you put a snap a coil cord to it and then connect it, conductive cord, to an electrical outlet ground, then 5-10 minutes, the hot burning pain stops. Now the damage that's been created from the inflammation, the accumulative damage, that needs to repair and so on. But that hot burning, what we call Vicodin pain, that oxidative pain, that doesn't exist when you're grounded. That's only in ungrounded people. And I know that from a kid when I was with my dad out, you know, in the pasture. One day we ran across a calf in a snowstorm, and it had torn part of its stomach open, and some of the intestines were hanging out a little bit, and we were too far to get it back to the barn. So anyhow, my dad took some saddle thread and just stitched it up, rolled it over on its side. The mother was standing there by it, and there's nothing we could do. So we just had to ride off and get back to where we were going. And a couple, 3 weeks later, here's that calf out running around just like, you know, like nothing ever happened with all the rest of them. Well, there's no anesthetics, no antibiotics, nothing. Gloves, cow manure, whatever. But that animal survived. And it's a statement, you know, because humans can't survive without pain and screaming and, you know, just all that horrible stuff that goes on when they hurt themselves. But anyhow, in nature, animals, I always heard people say, well, animals are different. They're not like humans. They don't have pain. Of course they don't have pain because they're grounded. But I didn't know that until, you know, 50 years later, 60 years later. Mm. You know, anyhow, so anyhow, inflammation, what we did is we discovered that when you ground the body, then inflammation stops. You can't have pain unless you have inflammation. So you have to have inflammation in order to have pain. So if you're going to stop the pain, you have to put out the fire of inflammation, the oxidation, the inflammation, the body is in pain. You have to put out the fire and then the pain stops. So pain is a signal to the brain, hey, get me out of here. I'm on fire. You know, stop this nonsense. And so then the question was, is why does pain, why does grounding the body reduce, stop pain? Then I started doing, you know, a little bit more research. This is back in 2002. This is before Ritger and everybody. But we found out that, well, the only thing that could be happening is the body is absorbing Earth's free electrons. When we ground the body to the Earth, connect the human body to the Earth, then electrons just like come up that wire, just like they do for any other electrical system. And then the body sucks them into the body and distribute equally throughout the body. And so the bottom line of all of this, it's impossible to have inflammation when you're grounded. Now, the whole world's out there. Everybody you know is suffering from inflammation and inflammation-related health disorders, every single one of them. Mm-hmm. But they are unaware of why. They do not know why. I mean, we know why. Millions of people know why because we've educated lots of people over 20 years. Yes. But by and large, we were all trained, you know, the way we were trained when we were young, and that's all we know. And we believe what we were taught, which is 90% untrue. And so, but here we are all stuck in this craziness. Yeah. But it's really, I mean, the other thing too, you look at back in 1960, 90% of the visits to a general practitioner were for infectious disease, childbirth, an acute injury. and probably 10% for mental. Today, 99% of all visits to a general practitioner are for an inflammation-related health disorder, something that didn't exist by and large 62 years ago. That's because we invented plastic cut off our ground, then our bodies caught on fire. And now everybody's running around with pain, anxiety, irritability, depression, chronic debilitating, degenerative health disorders. And, you know, why? You know, why are you doing to this, God? God's not doing this to you. You're doing it to yourself. Take your shoes off, get outdoors, ground yourself, put the fire out.
Yeah.
And then think twice about what you're going to do in the future. How are you going to solve this problem? And I've got a simple, real simple solutions for everybody. And it's free.
Yeah, looking forward to getting into that. I just want to ask you about the pain piece, though, because maybe I'm misunderstanding, but if you and I go and stand out in the meadow barefoot now, if you punch me or break my arm, I'm going to feel some pain, surely, from that.
Not like the pain you experience when you're not grounded.
Okay, so it's like it's a different level of pain. So there is still sensation. Like if I get shot or stabbed or something like that, it's going to hurt, yeah, surely.
Yeah, you have a nervous system, and it's going to respond to anything that happens to the body.
Yeah.
Now, there's two kinds of pain. Okay. One pain is what we call the Vicodin pain. That's that hot, searing, burning pain. They're like if you have surgery or if you have a cut, an open wound. Okay. What that's from is it's from the body, the neutrophils are releasing lots of, and the immune system is releasing lots of neutrophils. And those neutrophils are, you know, trying to oxidize the damaged cells from the wound. Mm-hmm. And in the process, they're creating a storm, you know, kind of like a cytokine storm. So you have all of this neutrophils releasing all of this reactive oxygen species. I mean, it's really acid. And so it's burning tissue. And because there's no ground to reduce the remains of those neutrophil oxidative bursts, then they create all of this hyper pain. I mean, this elevated level of pain. So, but as soon as you ground the body, then the body becomes instantly flooded with free electron, and then knocks that, it prevents that oxidative, hot, burning pain. Now, anybody listening to this, you can go do this free. You can go do your own study. You can do it. Just go outdoors, take your shoes off, stand on the earth. And if you got a lot of pain, a lot of problems in your body, stay there a little longer than. But anyhow, there's another kind of pain. That's a very subtle pain. That means don't touch me. I'm wounded. I need to heal. I need to recover. But that's not a screaming, give me Vicodin burning pain. So it's like the animal pain. They don't have the hot burning Vicodin pain. Does not exist in the animal world, only the human animal world.
Okay. I think I've been quite fortunate. I've never had that burning pain because I've never had surgery or anything, touch wood. So I don't have that point of reference. I do, however, have been like punched, you know, and things like that. So I understand those sort of things. Sure. But yeah, okay. So any experience of dealing with any studies or any anecdotal stuff around pregnancy and giving birth grounded versus in the hospital and the pain levels?
Yeah. Well, I would say that 99.9% of all births ever taking place on planet Earth were to grounded animals and humans. Yeah. Okay. Today, when you, it's like when you are grounded, you have a greater range of motion. You have more energy in your body. You have more electrons. So it's easier for everything to move. Okay, so when you're grounded, your muscles are more pliable, more flexible, more range of motion. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to have to deliver when you are grounded than it is when you're all tight and laying on blankets and insulated from the earth, and your body's uptight, and you've got pain going on. So if you get grounded, that it reduces the pain if it doesn't eliminate it. And, you know, it's just a whole different world. It's just a whole different world.
Yeah, yeah.
We're removed from that world now.
Yeah. I guess the same would be true for like working out. So if you can work out grounded versus being in a gym that's disconnected, you've got more range of movement.
Yeah, at the earthinginstitute.net, we have all of the studies that we've produced over the last 20 years, 25 years. And one of the studies, in the early days, athletes were the first people who gravitated towards grounding and earthing, because it's like the Tour de France. We grounded the Tour de France, you know, the U.S. Postal Team and Team Discovery for, I think, 7 or 8 years. And it was remarkable. They didn't have anybody drop out of the race, which was unheard of in the Tour de France. Yeah. And anybody that was injured, that we patched them up with electrode patches, like I've been talking about, you know, a little patch point. And as near to the injuries, you know, because they would have road rash or burns, and they would have all kinds of injuries. Plus, they were totally beat up and totally, you know, exhausted. That's an exhausting race, you know. But anyhow, but the main thing is that they healed faster. They would heal up from small injuries and the things that would happen, you know, in less than half the time it would normally take. That's because their body's flooded with free electrons. There's no oxidative stress. Because the thing that impedes healing is oxidation, burning, inflammation. If there's no inflammation, then the body can just mend itself up and get on with life. But if the body's on fire, you got to put the fire out. And sometimes you can't put that fire out because you can't get enough free electrons to the body. So to answer your question, it would be best to be grounded when you're giving birth, like all of the other critters on planet Earth.
Yeah, like all of them for all of history until very recently. Yeah. Let's talk a bit about respiration if we can then, Clint. I know you've referenced it in the book a couple of times. If you just give us a broad overview of what you've found, and then maybe we can dip into a couple of bits.
Well, respiration, first of all, when you're grounded, your body's negative. So, and oxygen and molecules are positive. So you, and like I said, positive and negative, they snap together. So it's, you have increased O2 uptake when you're grounded versus when you're not grounded. Now, this is kind of not well known to people. And it's just nature automatic. So, but anyhow, you're going to breathe easier. Most of the people who have sleep apnea and all kinds of breathing, respiration issues, and lungs, they're... It's because of inflammation. Sleep apnea is an inflammation-related health disorder. If you didn't have inflammation in your life, you could never have sleep apnea. It's like you can't have cancer unless you have chronic inflammation for an extended period of time. Okay, so anyhow, because the body is in nature, I mean, nature perfected this body over millions and millions and millions of years. That's how we got here. And we didn't have all these institutions and medical being 30-40% of the economy. We didn't have any of this stuff. We just had each other and food and whatever. But anyhow, first of all, the number one reason people can't sleep is because of pain. Or you're stressed out because there's a bear out there that's going to eat you in the morning when you get up and go out and fight the world. So, but the main thing is pain. People can't sleep because they're in pain or they're uncomfortable all the time. They have aches and pains and whatever. So as soon as you get grounded, the first thing it does is it reduces all of the inflammation in your body. Then your body can relax. And then you can go to sleep. And the second thing I'll say about sleep is autonomic. It's something that happens in nature and natural. It isn't something you think about and whatever, I got to go to sleep. It's autonomic. It just, when the body needs sleep, generally go to sleep. So if you go, so when you can't sleep, then the number one problem is you have all the pains and all that kind of stuff. But beyond that, you're living in a chronically elevated fight or flight state. Your cortisol is elevated. You're thinking about something. You're mad at your spouse or your child or your boss, or there's something anger, or there's something stressing your body that you are on guard because that bear is going to come get you. You have a sympathetic nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system. So when the bear is out there, when life is out there coming at you, you have a, you know, the sympathetic nervous system responds to everything. But you have a parasympathetic system that releases anytime you're exposed to, you know, the threat, then the parasympathetic will release a certain amount of hormones that will help modulate that fight or flight response to give you those few seconds to make a decision whether I run or fight. Ancient, goes back millions of years. Okay, that's all fine until you are end up living in a chronically elevated sympathetic state, meaning there are so many coyotes, so many bears after you all the time, whether it's work, boss, family, whatever it is, and you're responding to all of it. And so you're elevated, your cortisol is totally elevated. Your adrenals, they eventually become exhausted because they have a limited supply of resources. And if you're in a chronic state, then the adrenals are going to be drained. And then all of a sudden the sympathetic response goes past that. And now you feel pain like fibromyalgia and like, you know, a lot of those things that some people talk about. You know, that turns into anxiety, irritability, oftentimes depression, and then into fibromyalgia, lupus, MS, cancer, on and on and on and on. Point being, if you're not sleeping, you're in a fight or flight state. Something is, you got one eye open, can't sleep. You're worried about something, you're thinking about something, or you have pain that is so great that it's just stressing you. So if you get grounded, it reduces the pain. That goes away. Then the muscles calm down, relax. And then the sleep is autonomic. I mean, you can't not go to sleep.
Yeah. Like I say, it's something you should be thinking about.
Yeah. So anyhow, I didn't mean to elaborate on that so long, but
it's good.
It's very simple. It's, you got to ground out the coyote juice, ground out the bear. You got to get them out of your
juice. Yeah.
Get them out of your system.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's like in the wild. I'll tell a quick story. Like in the wild, when I was a kid, you know, we had a ranch and my job was babysitting cows. That was what they call it. Some people call it romantic cowboys. Wouldn't like that. But anyhow, so we spent our days babysitting cows, watching them and making sure the water's okay, making sure and keeping them healthy. And while we were doing that, you know, there's lots of other things to go with it, but while we were doing that, some years there would be an infestation of jackrabbits. And these jackrabbits, they can jump, you know, 10 feet in the air. But anyhow, there's so many, and the grass is good the year before. So then all of a sudden you have an infestation of jackrabbits. But beyond that, you have an infestation of coyotes. Coyotes eat the rabbits, rabbits eat the grass. As long as they're all there, they all live fine. Eventually, though, the rabbits eat up all the grass and the coyotes eat up all the rabbits and it's all gone, starts over again in a few years. But anyhow, what was most interesting is we would watch the jackrabbits. They'd be sitting there eating grass like that's all they do, just eat grass. And then coyotes would sneak up on them. The coyote would get close. The rabbit would sense them. The ears go up. And then all of a sudden, the rabbit springs up in the air. The coyote springs, and then the chase is on. The rabbit is going zigzagging back and forth across the pasture so he can keep one eye on the coyote. the coyotes dogging and, you know, how dogs run, running after them. And 90% of the time, if not more, the coyote runs out of energy. And he'll just lay down there in the grass, panting. And the rabbit, he'll run just a little bit further, keeping us still see the coyote, but he'll just sit there and you can see him that his life has just been threatened, you know, and he's shaking. You can, these are big rabbits, you can see them, you know. And all of a sudden, he has this big visceral response like this. Then he goes back to eating grass like nothing ever happened.
Oh.
The coyote, he's wandered off the other direction because he's got to go find some shade and cool down. Okay, so I tell this story always when I'm talking to a group of women or, you know, especially women's blog, because this is what happens is, you know, a woman gets up in the morning and she starts a day. She's got the kids to get ready to take care of, whatever, get the husband if she still has one, and, you know, get him off to work, whatever, and take care of all of those things. Then she gets to have a cup of coffee, and then she's got to go do her own stuff, and then she's going to end up getting in the car. But during this process, the kids are a coyote, the husband's a coyote, because you're putting a burden on her. She's got to respond. She's got to take care of all these things and make sure, manage this liftoff every morning. Then eventually she gets to, it's changing today, but it used to be, she would run and get herself ready, then jump in a car, put shoes on, not grounded at all ever, and then drive to work, then road rage from static electricity in the car and just being ungrounded, so you're edgy anyway. And then you get to work, you run into work, take your clothes off, sit down, you're sitting on a plastic fabric chair, generally synthetic fabric, and you have shoes on, you kick your shoes off, your feet are on carpet, so you're not grounded, and then you're sitting there doing whatever you're doing, and then events up time to go home, and by that time you're exhausted from the fluorescent lights and lack of sunlight and just everything that goes on. Then she runs out the door, jumps in the car, and goes home, more road rage. And so anyhow, she's living in a, like, coyotes are after her all day long. The traffic is full of coyotes. The boss is coyotes. The customers can be coyotes, you know, and they're just chomping. And then she gets home, and then she's got to do it all over again, take care of the kids, dinner, whatever, and so on and so on. So it's an exhausting trip. I mean, you know, this whole 24-hour day. And so what happens is, because she's full of coyote juice, cortisol is coyote juice, is because she's full of that, now she can't sleep. And then she ends up with, because she can't sleep, the body doesn't recover properly at night. And you don't get full recovery. And then you end up with the aches and pains starting to build, chronic fatigue starting to manifest. And then eventually, by the time she's 35, you know, autoimmune disease manifests full blown. That's the typical female story. Men are a little bit different because they get to go play golf and things. They get to accidentally get grounded here and there.
Okay, well, interesting. So there's more chance for them to touch the ground. Yeah, no, I can relate to that story because I've lived that life as well. You know, running out to work and then, you know, you just get home and you're so stressed, you just want a glass of wine or something to help take the edge off. And that becomes 10 years if you're not careful. Clint, you said something really interesting. Just jumping back to respiration, you were saying that the oxygen is positively charged. And so if we're grounded, there's a greater chance of the oxygen being absorbed and being connected.
That's right. Yeah, grounding increases your O2 uptake.
Yeah. And so you also referenced in the book something around our respiration rate increases when we touch the ground initially. Is that right?
Yes.
What's going on?
Respiration increases. I don't remember the exact number. It's been a long time since I looked at that. But I think it's like, you know, I forget how many breaths you take per minute, but you'll have one or two more breaths per minute when you're grounded. Now, I think a lot of that could be in the early days because we were doing studies. When you get grounded, then you get your you're reducing the inflammation in the body, and the body is promoting healing, promoting recovery and stuff. So there could be more circulation, more fundamental things that are going on with that. I don't know that we've ever looked too much. I mean, those are all during studies where those remarks come from.
Yeah.
Day to day, I don't really know, because when I'm resting rate, I'm 78 years old. I just turned 78. And I know I have better respiration today than I did 20 years ago. But I don't do anything. You know, I take care of myself now. I didn't back then. I don't really know. I shouldn't say I don't know. But if you have better, if you have more breaths per minute, then basically it's easier to breathe is one of them, because now it doesn't take as much energy to breathe. That could be one of them. Because your lungs, when you're positive, your body's ungrounded, and then you're breathing atmospheric air, then you're going to have to pull in a little bit harder. But I'm not, I would have to, I may pull something up, send it to you. I'll wait and see.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. What's interesting though is around the same sort of time of what you're talking about, the 60s, and this disconnect happening, around the same sort of time, our breathing rates actually increased. So I think the average amount of breaths was something like 12 breaths per minute. And now it's around 18 to 22. So our breathing's getting faster, which is actually a bad thing, because we're not letting the oxygen sit in the lungs long enough to transfer. So it was just interesting what you were talking about in the book. And I was thinking, is that because our body's finally got a moment to start healing itself and saying, actually, let's bring some more air in because we can use the oxygen finally?
Because all of those recordings were done during studies, I would say that it had to do with the healing response.
Fascinating stuff. And then I think it also referenced that when you took people off the ground in again and you ungrounded them, I think the breathing rate increased again. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And one thing I do know that one time I was playing with some of that equipment, and I know that my resting respiration rate was around, I think it was around 8. Oh, wow. When I was grounded.
That's great. Yeah.
But I had been grounded for many years in the process. But when I relax, I'm more relaxed. I'm much more relaxed now than I ever have been. I don't have that, you know, that fast breath and so on. I don't know.
Fascinating.
The only thing I can tell you, one thing for sure, when you ground the body, you're reconnecting it with the earth. And then the earth, what it does, I mean, the body uses earth's electrical potential and its free electrons in order to maintain the electrical stability of the body. So in nature, everything is perfect. So if you want the answer, go stand barefoot on the earth for a period of time and you're going to get the right answer.
I think there's a common theme here, isn't there? Let's just touch the planet. What I'm keen to do, Clint, is pick your brain on a couple of bits now that have been bothering me about grounding, and I'd love to get your thoughts. So I know in other podcasts you said you just need to touch the earth, but if you wanted to get the best grounding, is it water? Is it wet grass? Is it sand? What's the best connectivity for grounding? I know they're all good, but what would be top? Does it not matter?
Well, just damp grass in the morning. Grass with dew on it, be as good as it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, seawater is definitely no question there. Yeah. But I think in Europe, we did a lot of research and we found 100 years ago, 200 years ago, that carpenters and stuff, they always told them to go out and get grounded for, 10, 20, 30 minutes in the morning before they put their shoes on and go to work.
Wow.
because that way they don't have the aches and pains.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is all brand new. It's been around forever.
It sounds like it's again, like the breathing stuff, you know, we instinctively knew we should breathe through the nose, but we've become a load of mouth breathers, but we've known for centuries or, you know, longer. So what about tarmac? What about walking barefoot on a path? Would that still connect you to the ground or less so?
When you say tarmac, I think airport tarmac.
Yeah. What we use on our... I think we call it in the UK, we call it tarmac, but asphalt, maybe you guys call it, I think.
Asphalt will not ground you.
Right.
Okay. So it has to be concrete that's holding a little bit of moisture. It doesn't need to be wet. Concrete is earth, rocks, and so it holds moisture. Mm-hmm. So when you walk barefoot on concrete, provided it's not 100 degrees or more, then you're going to have, you're going to be grounded. Mm-hmm. So concrete is good. Sidewalks are good. Dirt path is best. For millions and millions of years, we walked down a dirt path.
Yeah. And how long? What's the minimum effective dose that we should be aiming for? I know 24 hours would be ideal, but what's the minimum? Does it vary person to person, or is there a 30 minutes, an hour? What's good?
Oh, I think it's very simple. It's what I tell everybody. I said, you know, in nature, you know, like the coyotes that live in nature or the, you know, the animals that live in nature, they're grounded 24/7. Mm-hmm. Inflammation doesn't exist in nature. Body on fire doesn't exist in nature. It's absurd. Nature would not develop a health disorder that would oxidize and burn the body up. Mm-hmm. So, but in nature, inflammation doesn't exist. So anytime you're walking down the street and you have pain in your body, I can assure you, you have inflammation. And that's a message from your brain to take your shoes off and get grounded and to put the fire out. So the older you get, the more grounding I think you need. It's like me, I'm 78. I'm probably grounded. I'm grounded. Probably 90% of the day, wherever I'm going, I have grounded shoes, whatever. And I love barefoot. I promote barefoot. I try to get everybody to go barefoot. More is better.
Okay.
But if you want health to really reduce the stress on your body and give your body a chance to heal,
yes.
If there's any way you can be grounded during sleep, you want to do that. Okay. Because sleep is the time when the body heals and restores itself, when it recovers.
Yes. Okay.
If you're full of inflammation at night while you're sleeping, you're going to get up in the morning. You're not going to have energy. You're not going to have that get up and go. You're going to drag yourself out of bed, coffee, whatever, try to wake up and then get on with your day.
Yeah.
So it's really simple. Everybody's different. The older you are, I think the more you need to get grounded because you have to stop the oxidative stress. You just aging is, you know, the body entropy is real. The body is slowly evaporating. So you want to slow down that process. You want to stay away from things that, that inflame the body, that can create inflammation. Beyond that, I have seen people in their 30s that we've grounded for an hour that had a 20-year chronic pain, non-healing wound, non-healing ligaments, all those kind of things. 30 minutes later, they get grounded and the pain goes away forever. Wow. I have seen other people that just have to get grounded and stay grounded because the pain will start coming back. But that has more to do with age and so on. But it really has to do with everything in the body. When you are ungrounded, you are operating in free space. You do not have a ground. You don't have a base. You don't have ground. You're not grounded. Think when you talk about grounding your kids, you want them to return to normal. You want them to get grounded. You want them to be stable. Yeah. So to get grounded is to ground yourself in health. And you have to do these things. It's absurd that we're sitting here carrying on this conversation. You know, 60 years ago, we couldn't get off the earth.
Yeah.
We couldn't get ungrounded.
Yeah.
And we loved playing outdoors, living outdoors. It couldn't get us in the house unless we got whipped because there was nothing to do in the house.
Yeah.
And today we have totally turned that upside down, turned it around. And today all of our children are sick. We have, you have rampant, autism, lupus, MS, I mean, ADD, ADHD, that's tennis-uitis. You know, the kids are sitting in rubber sole shoes all day long, fluorescent light raining down on them, no sunlight, and their nervous systems are going like this. And they give them a dose to calm down.
Yeah.
Calm them. It's crazy what we have done.
It's crazy. And then we give the kids sugar and caffeine and all those sorts of things, and we expect them to sit still for 8 hours. I want to just ask you about autism, but before I do, the grounding sheets that you get for the bed, the pillow, for the desk, I've heard different things. One thing is try and have it so that the wire goes out the window and down, but I also hear you can plug it into your house. But somebody told me, be careful with the ones you plug in, because if you've got a bad electrical system in your house, you might end up doing something worse to yourself. Is there any truth to that?
Well, to a large degree, there's a whole group of people out there that make their living trying to say, do it this way, do it that way, whatever. But these are not electrical engineers and experts by and large. Mm. Basically, what we do is we put a 100K resistor on all the ground systems that earthing.com sells or that they manufacture. And what they do, they act as a, not necessarily a fuse, but they slow charge down to the point that you can't feel it or you can't be harmful. I'm not sure how to explain that to most people. Most people think of voltmeters and it's either working or it's not. But when you have a resistor, what it does is it slows the charge down to the point. It's like you go out in the backyard and you turn your water hose on and wide open, it'll blow the bucket across the stream.
Yeah.
But if you turn the faucet down to the point that it just fills up the bucket, but the bucket's still there and it still fills up. It just takes a little bit longer. And so that's what a resistor does. It slows charge down to the point that it can't create fire. It can do no harm.
Okay.
So everything that we put out with a earthing system has a safety, what we call a soft ground. It won't conduct a current. It just lets electrons pass through and equalize the body with the earth. Now, most people don't use those terms, don't understand them. All they think is, it's electrical, it's charge, and it's going to, electrocute somebody. No. The first thing you do with electrical, if you have any background whatsoever in electrical, it's safety. Safety always first. So people like myself with 30-year background in, electrical background and 25 years of grounding, safety is always first. Mm-hmm. You do nothing that could be harmful with electrical because electrical will kill you. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of guys out there. Most guys, they go out and create their own electrical systems and do their own stuff and whatever. And by God, they want that meter to read this and read that. They don't understand grounding. But anyhow, so some people are, if they have exhausted adrenals, meaning they have fried their parasympathetic nervous system, and so they have no buffer from the buffer, the adrenals are no longer working. So they're more sensitive. They are what you would call electrically sensitive. They feel the wind, they feel every touch of everything. Anything in the environment will upset them, bother them, irritate them. Mm. 99% of people out there, you can hit them with, doesn't matter what you throw, a bucket of water, it's not going to bother them. But these people, because their adrenals are shot, they have no buffer. So now they feel and they're more sensitive. So they feel things more so than other people. Now, that's a very small percentage of people, but those are usually women who have experienced a great loss or not recovered from a significant event. Guys aren't so much, you know, it's hard to find electrically sensitive guys. Okay, so anyhow, that's what we're talking about, I think.
Okay.
So there are people out there, all they want to do is go and take care of these women who are electrically sensitive, and they make a living off of, you know, doing what they do. The thing, you know, is everybody's individual, everybody's different. The only thing I'm telling you is what we do is safe, and we wouldn't do it if it wasn't.
Of course.
Nobody's going to get harmed. Nobody's going to get electrocuted. But if they have a adrenal fatigue, they should be working on their adrenals than paying all these electrical people to run them around in circles and take their money.
Yeah. What I was thinking about, because I hadn't thought, or I had considered the danger side, but I assumed they were safe. What I'd actually heard some stuff around though, Clint, was, and again, I might be saying it wrong and you're the expert, that's why I want to get your take on this, is maybe like the EMF and all the crap that's in our electric now from like routers and actually maybe we would be giving ourselves a dose of bad EMF or something through these plugged-in ones.
I've been working on this particular type of grounding for almost 23, 24 years. And when I first got involved, I remember all the EMFers running all around, and they had the National Institute of Health Sciences. They had everybody doing all these big studies about, you know, the harmful effects of EMF because people was affecting sleep and all these kind of things. And anyhow, about the same time, there were two or three studies done, one in Europe, one in the US, one somewhere else. And anyhow, what they did is they would take a herd of sheep and put them out underneath of a high voltage power line. And then they had a second group, you know, 3,000 feet away or 5,000 feet away. And then they would measure the difference. Did the power impact the melatonin in the sheep that were under the power line versus the ones who were moved far enough away that they wouldn't be effective? Well, what they found, there was no effect whatsoever. And because of my background and knowing all this stuff, I wrote a letter to the NIH and I said, well, you really need to do all these studies over. And I wanted to say tens of millions of dollars worth of study. You really need to do them all over because you can't induce voltage into a grounded animal, a grounded human, or a grounded sheep. So your studies are worthless. But anyhow, it doesn't matter that people make their living doing studies. It doesn't matter whether they're right or wrong. That's what they do for a living. But the point of all of it is, I've been doing this for 23 years, and I keep asking, where are the dead bodies? Show me one dead body anywhere in the world that died from EMF or dirty electricity. This is electrical noise on the systems. This is not electric fields that are going to penetrate the body and create current in the body that are going to cause heart attacks, that are going to promote cancer or lupus or MS or diabetes. The only way you can get those things is you have to be suffering from adrenal fatigue for an extended period of time. And then you have to be ungrounded for so long that your body becomes, the fire in your body becomes so great that it begins. So, you know, but the point of the issue is, I don't know anybody that's ever been harmed by an EMF. Now, they've got tens and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of studies, but there's no conclusive evidence. They're just doing studies because they like to do studies. That's the way the world works. You get a grant and do a study. And then the studies are always ended like, well, we need to do more research, so we need more grants. And so that's just the way the system works. But the point is, when it comes to health, if you are electrically sensitive, you have exhausted adrenals. You need to restore your adrenals. How do you restore your adrenals? That can be quit worrying about the things that are eating you up inside. Quit, you know, there, I could go on for an hour on that alone. But, you know, what causes stress in the body starts here. And it's like It's not a black and white thing. Everybody's story is a little bit different. But, you know, take a typical woman who has MS. Well, what happened to her before she developed MS? Well, 3 or 4 years before that, she lost a son, maybe, or she lost a husband, or she lost a relationship, or she lost a job, or they lost their house because of the turn down in 2008. But there was a monster stress that they got emotionally and become coyote. I mean, they were filled and stayed, you know, they were, I'm short on words here, but anyhow, they're frozen in time, and they're not like the coyote can, you know, after the rabbit, after it gets chased, it just shakes it all off and goes back to life. But these women who are living in homes with carpets and all of the craziness that goes on, and they can't ground out the stress. They can't ground out the coyote juice. So every day, it's like I tell in every conversation I have with women, especially, I said, at the end of the day, you have no choice. You have to go home, take those shoes off, and you have to go out and get grounded for 30 minutes and get as much of that out of your body before you start dinner.
Yeah.
Or before you go to bed.
Yeah.
If you can't do anything else, 30 minutes of grounding every night is going to change your life, and it may stave off these horrific degenerative health disorders that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But I could go on for hours and hours and hours because I have so much experience.
Yes.
You know? But the thing I don't like about the EMFers is they go out there, they're all guys, and they've all got a voltmeter, and they say, here, it moves the meter.
Yes.
Well, everything, static electricity is 5,000 volts. Why are you worried about 2 volts? You know, it's just nuts. You have to take all the things that we're talking about and go test them. Does grounding make me feel better? Well, if it does, then you want to do more of it. But if you're full of stress and full of sometimes maybe anger, sometimes maybe this, that, whatever, you've got to examine what's causing that. And what can you do to change that in your life? What can you... And it's not about grounding necessarily. It is grounding. You have to get grounded in nature. You have to get grounded in a reality. And you have to go find your place in nature and crawl back in, because this world we're living in is going to eat you up.
Yeah. We need to get back into the planet.
You may still live to be 90 years old, but it's going to be a painful journey. Yeah.
It's not a good 90. It's a bad 90. I'm conscious of your time. I just want to ask you one last thing about autism, if that's all right. So, is it anecdotal? Have you got any studies? And what should people do? Is it about pregnant women being grounded? Is it about grounding the newborn babies? Is it all of that? If you could just share a bit about autism, I would love to hear your thoughts.
Well, you know, autism is, and the only thing I know, I have lots of experience with it. You know, young moms. Usually when their autism shows up in a family, mom goes to jail for 20 years or longer. She loses her life, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's really a devastating situation. But autism is an inflammation-related health disorder. You cannot have autism unless you have inflammation. There's some studies that were produced by John Hopkins a couple, 3 or 4 years ago. And then there's several others. All you do is go Google autism and inflammation, and there's a host of studies out there. So this isn't just me talking. This is all modern. They just learned this a few years ago. Mm-hmm. They're still learning every day what inflammation is. So somewhere along the way, if a child develops autism, then there was a cytokine storm an event that triggered the immune system, and the immune system started producing cytokines, or, you know, and the body became flooded with reactive oxygen. Mm-hmm. And that started the fire. And so it's called the firestorm, and it oxidized and burned tissue. Mm-hmm. And if it's not caught early and the fire put out early, then it can be devastating. The longer it goes, the worse it is. But it's really the body's on fire. Got to put the fire out. So if somebody's got autism, it's about fire. It's about inflammation in the brain. Mm. Now, a lot of people have 100 different opinions on which particular incident caused it. You know, a lot of people say, well, it's the shots. Well, maybe it is, because now when I was a kid, they gave them shots, you know, 2 or 3 every 6 months or something like that. And now they give them 30, 40 in one dose. Does that promote a massive cytokine storm in the body? Possibly. I don't know. I got to shut up on that one. I don't want to get myself in trouble, because autism is very serious. The women who are having to deal with this, this is a serious, serious issue. So anything we can do to help them, that's what our mission is. But we like to ground them as much as possible, as quickly as possible, get them outdoors, get their bare feet on the earth as much as possible, get as much sunlight on them as possible, and give their systems a chance to recover. But anyhow, autism is an inflammation-related health disorder. Google it. Go to PubMed.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of studies now that validate that. So what you have to do is study inflammation, not autism. Mm. It's like Richter said, you don't have cancer, you have chronic inflammation. It just manifested in your particular body as cancer.
Yeah.
In somebody else's body, it'll manifest as cardiovascular disease. So inflammation is the problem. Inflammation is the issue of the day.
Yes.
All the rest of it is secondary.
Yes. Incredible.
And it all goes back to very simple. It goes back to nature. We were always grounded, and the immune and in nature, the body, Mother Nature didn't know the body was going to one day be wearing rubber sole shoes that insulated from the earth, and that the body was going to begin, you know, catch on fire.
Yep. Yeah, you're trapped inside all day, touching electrical gadgets and blah. Yeah, yeah. So, Clint, let's bring it home for everybody then. So, what can people do to make themselves feel better? What should they be doing now?
Well, the first thing you do is question everything I just said, and go outdoors, put your bare feet on the earth for 30 minutes, and if you have pain and stress, fatigue, you know, whatever's going on, is there any change? If there is, you want to do more, and then more and more and more until the pain goes away. So you really, it's something, everybody's life is different. Everybody's home is different. Everybody's lifestyle and so on. So all I'm saying is, if you can't do anything more than go hug a tree, that's what you got to do. But whatever it is, you need to get grounded as much as you possibly can. And if you have health disorder, your health is compromised, you need to get grounded and stay grounded until the pain goes away. Then you're free to go out and do it again. But this is nature you're dealing with.
Yes.
This isn't a treatment. This is nature. This is who you are. This is who we are. We are human beings that we're a piece and a part of the earth. We are the earth up walking around. And when we cut ourselves away from it and disconnect from it, then we lose that equilibrium, that ground, that we're no, you know.
Yeah.
It's like unplugging the light. Boom. Yeah. It's off.
Yeah. Have you much thought about astronauts and what any problems with being in space?
Yeah, their bones, they lose their bones quite quickly. Mm. And it's because when you don't have free electrons, enough free electrons, then the body, the bones are the body's main store of electrons. So what the body does is start dissolving bone to, calcium to release free electrons so the body can maintain blood pH. Because if the blood pH gets off just a little bit, sepsis and you die. Mm. So, yes, but the bones dissolve quite quickly in space. Mm. Human earthlings have no business in space. It's not going to happen. Yeah. That's just a great way to spend a lot of money and whatever they do. And I'm sure we'd learn a lot, but we're not going to go out there and live there.
Mm. And what happens if you would ground yourself on Mars? Any thoughts on what would happen if you went to a different, or the moon? Can you ground yourself on the moon?
No, there's no electromagnetic field on the moon.
Right.
Yeah. There's no feel of electrons and photons and I'm comparing photons.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's just we need to take a look at our home and fix it.
Yes.
Fix our family, fix ourselves, and take care of each other. And the thing I love about grounding and the reason I've spent 25 years on it is because it's free. Now, if you get one of these, you know, grounding mats or all that kind of stuff, that's really nothing more than an extension cord that you plug it into the earth via the electrical ground or via the earth ground. A lot of homes don't have electrical ground. That's why we have that ground rod. And then connect it to a bed pad or a piece of metal or anything and sit on it, lay on it, sleep on it. So you can be connected to earth during sleep. This isn't the best business about making bed pads.
Mm.
This is about health.
Yes.
This is about restoring and maintaining health. It's about ensuring, doing anything you can to ensure your health and your family's health.
Yeah.
And 99% of our customers are women between the ages of probably 30 and 60. 99%. Men, not even 1%.
Wow.
But on the other hand, it's understood because women are the caregivers. They're the caretakers of the family.
Mm.
So it's important that we support them in this. But anyhow, this is important. This is about the health of your, you know, the moms and the moms who are taking care of their moms and taking care of their children and taking care of their husbands. So you have to do anything you can to support these people.
Yes.
And grounding is free, so they can do it for free. They don't have to have money.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, so important to remember that, isn't it? And often it is the free stuff that is the best stuff, isn't it, Clint? Sorry, please, go ahead.
But there's nothing more important you can do
than
to get grounded. There's nothing that will affect your body more than to get grounded, stay grounded for a few hours.
You've convinced me. I put breathing as number one. I'm now going to move breathing to number two, and I'm going to put grounding as my new number one. Because I always say, if your breathing's off, your sleep's off. If your sleep's off, your diet and exercise are off. But actually, if you're not grounded, then all of that doesn't work either. So there's a new foundation, which is ironic. Yeah, okay.
Cool.
All
right, well, so, anytime you want to visit, let me know.
Thank you. Thank you. So the book and the movie are out. People can watch them, and it's earthing.com. I think I've got this version. You've got that one. You've got the Earthing movie.
The Earthing movie. Get a chance to watch it. It's well worth it. Award-winning movie and
beautiful film. Really good film. Really, really good. And it's free on YouTube, so people can just go and watch it now. You just watch it next. Clint, thank you so much for your time. I'm going off now to go and stick my feet in the earth before I go to bed because it's 10 o'clock here. And thank you very much for everything you've done. I really appreciate the work you've done, and you've made a big difference to many lives, Clint. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate
it. Take care. Bye-bye. Take care, everybody. Bye.